I speak to you in the name of Jesus who gives sight to the blind. Amen. If you were here last Sunday, you remember we reflected on the future. Remember James and John asked Jesus, you know, give us what we want to sit next to you in glory. We talked about the future and how we have hopes and anxieties about the future. Well, this week I began wondering about the past. I mean, we are the future of our ancestors. I wonder what it would have been like to be them and imagining their future. For example, imagine 1750. I don't know that there was an English settlement in Tampa Bay down there, but imagine if there was, and if we had church, we would have sat in a small building, probably on rough benches, no air conditioning, no organ, we would have worshipped with the Book of Common Prayer of 1662 for the Church of England. The priest would have been a missionary from the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel. And then I began to wonder what he might have said and how he might have said it. So this is what the priest in 1750 might have sounded like. Now keep in mind his sermon would be five times the length of this one. But this is what the priest might have said to you. Is it not a cause for wonder that some people suffer their infirmities and never are healed of them? In this very town and among us at St. Catherine's Parish, there are chronically ill persons. Oh, that we could cause the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. What family here has not been touched by the dreary languor of the croup and the lamentation of the pox? Who dares to hope that we may one day bring comfort to the dying and courage to the wounded? The Lord God Himself has offered consolation for our sorrow and hope for those who believe. Whereupon, is it not a familiar face we see in the Scriptures, portrayed by the evangelist, of the man seated by the roadside on the edge of Jericho? This same Jericho, whose walls trembled at the Lord's command and the sound of the trumpet. This same city toward which the man was journeyed who fell among thieves and was left for dead. To this ancient city came our Lord and his disciples one day, and there they came upon Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. St. Mark tells us that he was the son of Timaeus, though we are not privy to any further elucidation of the whereabouts or circumstances of this man whose son was to cry out to the Master. We are surprised to be told that Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus, for that is the very meaning of his name. Those scholars who labored so diligently for King James to bring forth a lively and lovely text of the Authorized Version were conversant in the ancient languages of Greek and Hebrew. And surely they knew that Bartimaeus speaks for itself, for Bar is son in Hebrew. As they elsewhere, Peter is called Simon Bar Jonah, the son of Jonah. Howsoever it may be, St. Mark tells us clearly the name of the blind man. And although the fate of the father remains unknown, the son has been delivered to us as the recipient of the Lord's mercy, nay, even of the Lord's healing. Can you not imagine the darkened world in which the son of Timaeus lived, darkened by sin and suffering, relieved only by the meager offerings of those who passed by and had pity upon him? Day following upon day, he sat by the roadside until the Son of God came near. And when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He did not say, Jesus, heal me. No, that would have seemed presumptuous and untoward for one of Bartimaeus' station. He asked rather for mercy, which request should stir our hearts and touch our lips. For no less than the blind beggar, we are in need of divine mercy. Of our diverse infirmities, We must seek the ministrations of such physicians as may come among us from time to time in this town and village. But for our infirmity of heart and blindness of spirit, we need mercy from the Lord. As befits a crowd, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And why should he not have cried again? For there could be no peace for him who sat in darkness day upon day, and they who counseled him to quiet knew not that Bartimaeus' cry for mercy was to catch the ear of the Savior. And Jesus stood still. Such detail in the gospel might be lost except for careful studying and patient reading. How often does the Lord stand still? Not often, according to St. Mark. From the beginning of his earthly ministry, at the baptism of John, Jesus moved hurriedly, and no term is more treasured by the evangelist than immediately. We also discover that our duties and our daily responsibilities cause us to move immediately, and with the urgency of God's salvation ever upon us, we hurry to the Lord's side. But now the Lord stood still. And should not that be a warning to us so rushed in our lives to stop and stand still and wait for the mercy of God? When the cry of Bartimaeus had thus caused Jesus to stop from his journey away from Jericho, the Savior commanded him to be called. It has ever been our hope that our cries for mercy will be heard, lest we lie in darkness and sin forever. Like Bartimaeus, we cry out in faith. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." If there is a word from the gospel to which we may cling as the season changes and we face the darkening winter ahead, it is this comfort and encouragement given by the friends of Bartimaeus. There is grace and forgiveness in having a cry answered. He is not forgotten, and the Lord commanded him to be called. Then Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. There be those of dark and tedious spirit who say that we poor creatures, being so bounded in sin as to be utterly depraved and without hope of our own choosing, can do nothing to effect our own salvation. If they merely mean to fix our faith on the atoning work of the Savior on his death on Calvary, they are surely correct. If, however, they mean to discourage us from crying out and rising and coming to Jesus, they do us no good. And we are left to the capricious sovereignty of God, which is little removed from fate. It is therefore the rising of the Holy Spirit which causes the rising of Bartimaeus and brings him with his blind eyes and open hands to the Savior. But the darkness is still not overcome, nor his sin released. For Jesus said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." It is a simple request, no greater for us than for the blind beggar. All the graciousness and loving kindness of God is shown in the question offered by the Son of David, "What wilt thou that I do for thee?" For God's mercy comes by invitation and the divine healing to those who ask. And having risen and come to Jesus, and having asked for sight, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Oh, dear friends, St. Mark has left us with a promise of faith and healing and discipleship. To those who believe that there is only blindness with which to contend, the Lord passes by and stands still. It cannot be from any vain presumption that we cry for mercy. But we would not so cry did we not hope in the everlasting goodness of him who is the author of life and fountain of mercy. Do not hesitate from fear or timidity to call. We are all blind and in need of our sight. And do not neglect to rise and come to Jesus. He will not persuade you with anger nor with threats, but he will hear when you call. And when your sight is returned, and your soul once more basks in the light of his presence, do not forget to follow Jesus in the way, for it is with him and him alone that our hope rests. Amen.